Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Matthew with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through Matthew chapter 24, starting in verse 9, ending in verse 14, where we see that Jesus loves sinners. And if we are to be emulating and reflecting Jesus properly, we are to love them too. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Matthew chapter 24, verse 9, with a message entitled, The Everlasting Gospel.
Turn and open to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. We're going to take a handful of verses here this morning. We're going to rewind to verse 3 and sort of build the context for the text that we're in this morning. We'll read down to verse 14. We'll pray. We'll ask the Lord for help and understanding with what's before us here today as we continue our journey through the Olivet Discourse, a complex portion of scriptures. There's a lot here before us. As I told you last week, it is very deep and wide, and I would love to keep the chapter together, you know, and teach it to you completely all at once, but because of time constraints, we're just going to each week just take a little bit at a time, you know, chip away at it and allow the Lord to minister to our hearts. The main thing that you got to understand, you know, whether it's this church or any church that you go to, wherever your church is that you call home, is that you're never just going to church for information. We're not just seeking to become heady people, scholarly-like, and, you know, it's all head knowledge. It's always for transformation. We want Jesus to change us. We want His Holy Spirit to take His holy word and allow Him to have its effect in our lives so that we are more like Him and so that we are impactful in this culture, in this generation, you know, for His kingdom. So we'll do the best that we can here this morning with the time constraint. We'll focus in on just a few things and we'll continue each week to move through this chapter until we finish it. I'm calling this message this morning, if you're a note taker, the Everlasting Gospel. So let's read here, verse 3, Matthew 24. If you didn't bring a Bible, there will be the verses that I'm sharing here on the screen behind me. You can follow along that way. We'll begin here in verse 3 down to verse 14, and then we'll get into it. It says this, "And as Jesus sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately, and they said to Jesus, 'Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world?' And Jesus answered in verse 4, and He said unto them, 'Take heed that no man deceives you, for many shall come in My name, saying that I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you are going to hear, verse 6, of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all of these things, Jesus says, must come to pass. But notice here at the end of verse 6, the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All of these things, verse 8, are the beginning of sorrows. The beginning of the sorrows of birth is what Jesus is saying here. Things are just getting started. And then in verse 9, shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. They shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for My name's sake. And then shall many be offended, verse 10, and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false witnesses shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity, verse 12, shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." The word love there is in the noun form. It's the only time that Matthew uses it that way in his gospel. The feminine noun form. And I believe that he is speaking there of those who were proclaimed believers. That because sin abounds, because sin surrounds. There will be this waxing cold, and hearts of men and women will become callous towards the things of God. Interesting here. But then he goes on to say this, he that shall endure until the end, verse 13, he who shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. He's not saying here that you enter the kingdom by being tough, but rather he who endures to the end of the trial will see the end of the trial. In other words, those who are really, truly saved will endure to the end. It's the proof of it. Speaking futuristically into the tribulation. Verse 14, our closing verse this morning, this is where we will camp out in just a few minutes. Jesus says this, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So Lord, God, there's no way I can preach these verses apart from your Holy Spirit falling on me and taking complete control. You said so much in these few verses, Lord, and I just want to give out this morning what you want me to give to this second service. So now we ask you, Lord, as our hearts are before you, our ears are before you, that you would open those things so that you can speak truth to us, that you would give to us our portion, Lord, what we need as your people, that you would awaken us and give us insight, Lord, understandings to your heart and to your word. So bless this time. Let me only say those things that you'd have me to say. And anything that's not of you for this particular service, God, let it be forgotten. Let it be removed from my mind so that this can be something that is pleasing to you. Lord, this gathering can be something that you smile upon, that blesses you. So teach us now, we ask through your word. By your Holy Spirit, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. So this whole chapter here is based on this question that these guys asked to Jesus. And I'm thankful that they asked him this. You know, Lord, what is the sign of your coming and, you know, the sign of the end of the age? What are the things that we are to be looking for? And by way of review, Jesus says to them all of these things. He begins to list off all of these things, and none of them singularly are things that necessarily mean that Jesus is coming again. It's that when you see all of these things combined taking place and the intensity of them happening, and the strength of them, how they come, you know, these are signs to you that the return of Jesus is near. He began in verse 5 by saying there's going to be a lot of people who come and say that they are Christ. They're going to deceive many. You're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars, and there's going to be sicknesses and pestilences and diseases and all of these things. And the critic and the skeptic looks at this, listens to this, and they think, well, these things have always been going on. These things have always been taking place. You know, what makes what's happening today different than any other day and age? What you have to do here is take into consideration what Jesus said in verse 8. He's saying it doesn't mean that the end is yet. It just means that the end is beginning, because these things are just going to intensify and increase as his return draws near. But it's interesting, because what you should do as a Bible student, what you should do as a disciple, learner of Jesus, is you should hold your Bible in one hand and watch the news, you know, with, you know, your other hand, or read the news with your other hand, and just see how the two go together, how they coincide, how they complete each other, how everything that Jesus said would happen is happening the way that he said it would happen. And I didn't want to spend much time here, but I just sort of want to illuminate what I'm seeking to tell you, to give emphasis to where we're going to camp out in just a few moments. So let me just share with you some hard facts, just things that you can go and get on your own. So we're not going to take a ton of time here and be super elaborate with these things, but let me just sort of just give testimony to the things that Jesus said as we look at here the signs of his return. According to CNN, these are just some things about the civil war that is going on in Syria. Just listen to me, please, for a few minutes. In the first 5 years of the war, which began in 2011, an estimated 400,000 Syrians were killed, according to the UN envoy for Syria. As of April 2018, more than 5.6 million Syrians have fled the country, according to the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, and more than 6 million people are displaced internally. According to the Global Conflict Tracker, worsening conflicts that have already been taking place are intensifying. There's a war in Afghanistan. There's violence in Central African Republic. There's violence in the Democratic Republic of Congo. There's a crisis in Myanmar. There's the North Korea crisis, the civil war in South Sudan. There's a conflict between Turkey and the armed Kurdish groups. There's criminal violence in an unparalleled manner in Mexico. The Al-Shabaab in Somalia. There's a war in Yemen. There's unchanging conflict in Negrano conflict. The Islamist militancy in Pakistan. Civil war in Syria. Political instability in Lebanon. Instability in Egypt. Destabilization in Mali. Listen, as I list these things, so much of it bores you because it's so far from you. As a pastor of an American church, it's sometimes difficult because these things are not necessarily touching us. We're sort of like, you know, we're sort of like in this incubator, if you would, compared to the rest of the world, at least right now. However, I do feel at times like we as a nation are on the brink of a civil war. We are sort of protected by the grace of God. We are sort of hedged from what so much of what the rest of the world is experiencing. You listen to these things, Jesus said would come to pass, they're happening. There's territorial disputes in the South China Sea. There's conflict in Ukraine. There's war against the Islamic State in Iraq. There's the Israeli-Palestinian conflict that you see on the news every day. There's Boko Haram in Nigeria. There's a civil war in Libya. There's conflict between India and Pakistan. There's political crisis in Burundi. Listen to this. The Yemen civil war, it began in 2014. An estimated 22.2 million people are in need of assistance. Over 16,000 civilian casualties since March of 2015. There's a civil war in South Sudan. Over 50,000 people have been killed. More than 1.6 million have been internally displaced since the civil war broke out in South Sudan in December of 2013. There's violence in the Central African Republic. Since the outbreak of the conflict in 13 in CAR, 3,000 to 6,000 people have been killed through increased executions, violent mutilations, and more than 450,000 refugees have been displaced, the majority of which are fleeing to their neighboring Cameroon. Goes on to tell us these things. The world is becoming a more dangerous place. These are secular, you know, statisticians that are telling us these things. It says this, there are now just 10 countries which can be considered completely free from conflict, according to the authors of the 10th Annual Global Peace Index. The worsening conflict in the Middle East, the lack of a solution for the refugee crisis, and an increase of deaths from major terrorist incidents have contributed to the world being less peaceful in 2016 than it ever has been before. You want to talk about diseases, cancer. Cancer, about 1.7 million new cancer causes are now expected to be diagnosed in 2018. This estimate does not include carcinoma of any site except for urinary bladder, nor does it include basal cell or cell skin cancers because these are not required to be reported to cancer registries. Listen to this. About 610,000 Americans are expected to die of cancer in our country in this year, which translates to about 1,670 deaths per day. Cancer is the second most common cause of death in the United States, exceeded only by heart disease. 1 million people have died from AIDS-related illnesses since 2016, bringing the total number of people who have died from AIDS-related illnesses since the start of the epidemic of 35-plus million people. 2016 statistics concerning HIV, an estimated 1.8 million individuals worldwide become newly infected with HIV in 2016, about 5,000 new infections per day. The latest statistics, and I'm almost done here, of the AIDS epidemic from the UNAIDS tells us this. According to the 2017 global HIV statistics, 1.8 million people have become newly infected with HIV in 2017. 940,000 people died from AIDS-related illnesses in 2017. Over 77 million people have become infected with HIV since the start of the epidemic. That's outrageous. It's almost 100 million people. Over 35 million people have died from AIDS-related illnesses since the start of the epidemic. And it goes on and on and on. And because of time constraints, I'll just stop there. But what you see and what you find is what Jesus said would happen is happening. What Jesus said would come to pass is coming to pass. And in fresh territory this morning, we see in verse 9, things like you'll be hated for righteousness. You'll be hated for identifying with Christ. You'll be hated for being a Christian. Again, you and I, we're soft compared to our brothers and sisters around the globe. People are having their body parts, their limbs chopped off. You know, they're being disfigured in front of family members. Their wives and children are being raped and molested in front of them for not denouncing their belief in Jesus Christ. You and I here, we might have somebody move from us at the lunch table, make fun of us, say things about us, put posts up about us, but that's awfully easy compared to what's going on around the rest of the world. Jesus said these things would happen. Out of these 11 apostles, not including Judas, 10 of them would be martyred. Since his ascension all the way till his kingdom coming, there will be this persecution. There will be this, you know, being hated for Jesus Christ. You and I are living in a day and age where men have never been more intolerant. We're living in a culture where tolerance is shoved down our throats. We're to be tolerant of these groups of people, tolerant of those groups of people, tolerant of these religious beliefs and these practices. But when it comes to Christianity, there is an intolerance in our culture. When it comes to Jesus Christ, when it comes to living by the word of God, there's an intolerance. There's, I don't want to hear it. There's a prejudice towards it. Jesus said these things would be the case. These things would happen. Some would even be killed, martyred for their faith. Many would be offended, verse 10. There's going to be betrayal. There's going to be hate. All these things are surrounding us. This disloyalty, you know, this uncertainty of who's really for me and who's against me. False prophets. False prophets are everywhere. We're living in a country that is surrounded by false prophets, by people who are seeking to draw others unto themselves. They're propagating their own vision of truth rather than the truth as Jesus Christ deems it. Heretics are everywhere. They're all over religious stations proclaiming things that are in contradiction to the word of God. And what's happening is men are trying to attach other men to themselves instead of to Jesus Christ. The inevitable, listen to me please, result of a false leader is they spread division instead of build up and promote unity. And we're seeing this all around us. If you're a note taker this morning, the test of any leader is their likeness to Jesus Christ. And we're seeing less and less of that. He said that these things would happen, false prophets would be on the scene, iniquity is going to abound, verse 12. I don't even need to elaborate much on that at all. Sin abounds. Any type of sin you want to engage in, any type of sin you want to, you know, participate in, it's available to you. Readily available to you at all times, anytime, wherever you are, man. You can access sin as you would like. It's just the truth. And because of that, he says, the hearts of many, I believe, believers are going to grow cold and hard. And even though all these things are going to take place, the gospel, Jesus says, is going to go forth. The gospel is going to be preached in all of the world for a witness to all men, every tribe, every tongue, every people. The Bible says for all earth inhabitants before the end will come. Now listen, the end will come part, we want to go there, don't we? We want to talk more about it. Christians and churchgoers love prophecy. And we'll uncover more of it as we move into the weeks to come. What I want to look at this morning is how amazingly gracious and kind Jesus is and never ending to extend this everlasting gospel, good news to the world. Even when all these things are going to take place with his creation, even when everything that we just really fastly and briefly skim through is only going to get worse, even in the midst of a mess, Jesus says there's going to be a message, the message of hope, peace, grace, love, mercy, kindness that comes from his throne to all of humanity. And I think that's outstanding. I think that that is worth, you know, talking about and looking at and being overwhelmed by in the best sense of the word. The everlasting gospel. Where did I come with that phrase from? Revelation 14:6 describes it that way. Let me define for you what that means when the Bible says the everlasting gospel. And I'm going to speak fastly. I'm going to speak intensely. The information I give to you is going to make your head spin because I know for a fact that that's going to happen because it makes my head spin just telling it to you. And then afterwards, when I'm done with this, so that it's available to whoever wants to listen to it later on, go on the archive, stop and pause it, jot scripture down so that it can bless you, encourage you, reinforce your faith. I'll speak in closing in layman's terms. But let me move through this theologically. Let me move through this systematically. Let me move through this here in a way where I think is very thorough and important for you and I to hear and listen to. The everlasting gospel, everlasting, by definition, means this: that which always has been, that which always will be, That which is without end, that will never cease. It's perpetual. It's eternal. It's forever. It could be also translated in this, from when the world began, and it describes duration. And I'll break it down for you in four specific ways. The gospel of the kingdom. We hear gospel, we think the good news of Jesus. He died on the cross for our sins. Yes, that's truth in essence, but that's just a smidgen of it. Let me give it to you this way. The gospel of the kingdom. This is the good news that God purposes to set up on the earth in fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. That should stir you. That should excite you. Jesus fulfills everything that God said that he would. He's a fulfiller. He's a promise keeper. Everything he says is yes and amen. This is logical. This is reasonable. What he calls us to put our stock in, what he calls us to believe in. He's a fulfiller, a prophecy. In 2 Samuel 7:16, it says that he would fulfill this office of, according to the Davidic covenant, of a kingdom, political, spiritual, Israelitish, universal, over which God's son, David's heir, shall be king, and which shall be for 1,000 years the manifestation of the righteousness of God and human affairs. That's good news for us. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ that's to be preached to you to excite you. You might be here today and you might say this, I'm done with Fox News, I'm done with CNN, I'm done with all of it, I'm done with politicians, I'm done with the Republicans, the Democrats, world leaders, everyone's disappointing me, everyone's failing me, everyone's frustrating me. Here's good news. Jesus Christ will literally, physically reign and rule over this whole entire globe one day soon and very soon. That's good news. That should stir you. That should excite you. That should infuse hope within your soul. This one will touch you more. This one will relate to you more. As the gospel goes forward, Jesus said, it's going to reach all the ends of the earth before he comes again. And I'll tell you how that's going to happen literally in a moment and what we're to do with that. But this one here is precious. This one here is beautiful. And this one here is accurate theologically speaking. Listen, please. It is the gospel of the grace of God. The good news of the grace of God. This is the good news that Jesus Christ, the rejected king, has died on the cross for the sins of the world. That he was raised from the dead for our justification, and that by him all that believe are justified from all things. This form of the gospel is described in many ways. It is the quote-unquote gospel of God, Romans 1:1. It is the gospel of God because it originates in his love. It is the gospel of Christ, 2 Corinthians 4:4, because it flows from his sacrifice, and because he is the alone object of gospel faith. It is the gospel of the grace of God, Acts 20:24, because it saves those whom the law curses. It is the gospel of the glory, 1 Timothy 1:11, 2 Corinthians 4:4, because it concerns him who is in the glory.
That concludes our message for today, here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let blood and water hit the ground.